Sacrifices of joy, what does that mean? Well, sometimes it's not easy to praise God. Sometimes the difficulties, it says that song goes in every situation, doesn't it? And when you're going through difficult times, to give God praise, how hard is that? Well, it's a sacrifice, but you find that God honors that sacrifice. It is a sacrifice well pleasing to Him because it's a sacrifice of faith, sacrifice of trust. Psalm chapter 4 tells us that there are going to be times where men are going to abuse us and they're going to say terrible things against us. But the psalmist says, be angry but sin not. Tremble even with your anger. But offer the sacrifice of righteousness, he says, and trust in God. Be still. What a wonderful sacrifice that is, because God knows at that juncture that you're trusting in Him rather than in your ability to make things happen. That's why, according to James, we can actually praise God for all those tribulations, can't we? If you're turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are going through the book of Matthew, and how Matthew starts off is going through genealogies. And genealogies are, it's more than just a list of names. It's more than just a list of families. The word that is used in the text refers to a history as well as the people that are listed. It's telling us that God has so designed history so that it would point to Him. God told the fathers, you need to teach these things to your son. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep His statutes, His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall write them, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It should be a part of your language. It'll be a part of your symbols. Pass these things down so that men might know me. We're reminded, as we read last week, of Acts chapter 14, verse 16. In days gone by, or in generations gone by, it actually reads, God permitted all the nations to go their own way. Verse 17, yet He did not leave Himself without a witness. Well, we've been going through genealogies, and as we've been going through genealogies, we've asked Tina to come up and share part of her genealogy as we've been looking at the Chinese language and how miraculous and how wonderful it is that down through the centuries, down through the millennium, God has preserved His truth about Himself through language. Now, Tina, come on down. I'm going to have you come here. And my son said that I need to get out of the way. He says he can't see through muddy water. And so I'm going to try to not be in your way, although still try to talk to you. But we need to hear you say something about these. And you all have sheets, right, that have been handed out? Study those carefully, because probably within a year we'll be teaching out of a Chinese Bible.
That would be a miracle.
That would be
a
miracle. How many characters do you say they have?
Thousands.
Right. Yet to be revealed, supposedly.
Yes.
I'd hate to.
I don't know them all.
Right.
I've only gone through sixth grades.
Anyway, we've been going through these symbols. These actually, they're words in symbols, aren't they? It's not like we have the alphabets.
Right.
They're actually each individual words.
And each word is composed of different elements that mean something.
And we have seen God through every one of these. Mm-hmm. So show us the ones that you have today.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. These words show God in them. And it still amazes me how these people who put these words together, were they inspired by God's Spirit? How do they know? These were people who were so far away from the Israelites, Jewish history. So let's go over. This first word I have, it means righteousness. And how it's put together is this word up on top means lamb. This word on the bottom means me. The lamb covering me.
Wow.
That's righteousness.
Amen.
It just gives you such clarity. That's it. None of us is righteous in front of God. But he has the lamb covering us.
Right from the very start in the garden, that's what God did.
Yeah. He sees his son covering us. He sees the son's blood over us. So the second word is put together with three different elements. This one on the left means vessel. This one on top means eight, the number eight.
Perfection.
This one, mouth for people. Noah's Ark.
Wow.
Eight people.
In the ark.
The ark as a vessel.
And the word means?
Boat.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? How did they come up with this word?
It must have been related to Noah.
Good guess.
All right.
Okay, the third word is means blood. And the original, which I have showing next to it, because this was a word that arrived from the original word that looked like they used pictures to show what each word means. And so you have a drop of blood, there's a container, it's like an altar,
mm-hmm.
A vessel used to for sacrifice. And so the word blood derived from that, it's like a drop of blood, and you have this vessel underneath. And that's the word for blood.
Mm.
And I show the two verses there. The Leviticus gives us God's requirement. And the verse in Ephesians gives us God's provision, the Son, and his blood. And so this represents life.
And that's an altar
of sorts. So
yeah.
It's revealing that life comes
mm-hmm.
from the sacrifice
right.
of blood.
Right. And like I said last week, the emperors thousands of years ago were doing the rituals of sacrifice.
Mm.
And they used vessels and they used blood.
So even though the nations went their own ways, God was not without witness.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
For doing that. Thank you.
And you guys get to hold on to those sheets. And you can tell your friends you know Chinese. Shall we bow for prayer? Father, we want to give you thanks for your demonstration of your power in all things. We know that your arm is not so short that it cannot save. We know that there's nowhere we can go from your presence. We know that you have borne witness to us in creation, for the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth your handiwork. We know that you have borne witness of yourself in our conscience, for you have placed within each of us, as Romans 2 says, a conscience and a sense of right and wrong. which bears witness to your righteousness. We know that you have borne witness through our fathers and our forefathers, and all around us declares your glory. We come to you and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.